Back in May, the company Northcliffe Resources announced that the U.S. Department of Defense is granting it nearly $21 million for the Sisson Mine project. It's a proposed tungsten mine that, if developed, would be located in the Upper Nashwauk River area. That's about 60 kilometers northwest of Fredericton. News about financial backing from the American military establishment has provoked indignation in some quarters, including from Wolastoq elders who oppose the project.
Accepting funding from Department of Defense, which is a military department, to be clear that they're there to produce and to weaponry, as well as to support the continuing war, and be it in Palestine, be it in Gaza, and those countries that where there's the continuum of genocide occurring.
And I am absolutely and totally against anything that would support the United States or Canadian military in their war efforts, especially in light of the fact that's going on in the world when we see what they're doing to indigenous people in Palestine and other countries over there. It's really a genocide that's happening right under the nose of the world.
Earlier this year, I asked Premier Susan Holt for her comment about criticism from Grand Chief Ron Tremblay related to the Sisson mine and the U.S. Department of Defense. Here's part of what she said.
I think Grand Chief Tremblay's concerns about the U.S. Departments of Defense's role in the Northcliffe project are valid. There's conversations we're having right now about the market for minerals, the partners that Canada wants to engage with, and how we move forward in the best way possible in this space.
More generally, Premier Holt has been pushing for investment in New Brunswick's mining sector, pointing to untapped supplies of so-called critical minerals.
We're in the legislature for opposition day in the afternoon. And I'll also be meeting with Northcliffe about the Sisson project.
When it comes to the critical minerals that can be found here in New Brunswick that are important for the green economy, for the defense economy, and beyond.
And many of those undeveloped, ready to be tapped into. So this is things like zinc and copper, manganese, tungsten, molybdenum, indium, things that go in solar panels and touchscreens. The U.S. Department of Defense is investing in New Brunswick right now in a tungsten and molybdenum development that we have going. It gives us interesting leverage in the situation that we're in right now.
She has also stated that her government has strong relations with Indigenous communities.
And we have First Nations at the table, ready to partner.
There's a lot more background about this story. You can read about it on our online publication, nbmediacoop.org. We'll go now to those interviews. Thanks to volunteer reporter Anna Leah Simon for the interview with Alma. Stay tuned.
You're a longtime opponent of the Sisson mine. Can you explain to listeners why you oppose the Sisson mine?
Why do I oppose the Sisson mine? First of all, I was involved pretty much from the time they started, when they were doing they were supposed to be doing an assessment. Environmental assessment. And there were some problems there, especially around the water classification. And so it was not a complete and properly done assessment, environment assessment. That was the first thing. Secondly, we feel, the Wolastoq feel that it would be a danger, and they want to build a, what do they call that? A tailings pond that would be the size of Fredericton. A huge tailings pond where they're going to dump all the poison and toxin. And if that overflows, we would end up with the same kind of a disaster that happened in British Columbia. And the whole of the Nashwauk River would be absolutely contaminated, and nothing would ever grow there again. It would be a disaster. And these companies are noted for doing these kinds of mining disasters and then just leaving, just pull out and leave. And the people that live there are left with the mess to clean up. That's two reasons. Now, the third now that has come to light is that the American military has just given Northcliff $2 million, $20 million, to do something with this mine. And when the military is involved, that tells me that the purpose that they want to use this product, whatever it is that they're mining there, for ammunition and for war and turning it into weapons. And I am absolutely and totally against anything that would support the United States or Canadian military in their war efforts, especially in light of the fact that's going on in the world. When we see what they're doing to indigenous people in Palestine and other countries over there, it's really a genocide that's happening right under the nose of the world. And the United States is front row center at supporting that. It wouldn't happen without the United States support. So that's the other reason why I'm totally against this. Not only because it's be very damaging to the environment and the water, and those, depend on the plants and we depend on the water for survival. And so, yeah, anything, and I am a water protector, a grandmother, and most of my teachings are about how the sacredness of water. And so I have a responsibility to speak out and protect the water, the giver of life.
Have you been to the site of the proposed mine? Yes, if so, can you describe it?
Yes, I have been there many times. I was there when they first wanted to mine up there, and there were people, I think there's people that are still there, that were right just where they wanted to put the tailings pond. They built a couple of buildings, and they had women stationed there to make sure that they didn't get in and go and start mining. That was back when they the first time when they wanted to go in there and do the mining. It was Northcliff, the same company. They're out of British Columbia, but they're very tied to the Americans.
What does the area look like?
It's very beautiful up in there. It's hilly. They had an archaeological. They were supposed to be teaching indigenous people how to be archaeologists. And I asked one young fellow. I said, so what did you do? What did you learn anyway? He said we dug a hole. Well, and then what did you do? Then what did you do? Well, we filled it in. but they found an arrowhead, an arrow point, and they estimated that it was 14,000 years. And all of a sudden they said it disappeared. Somebody took it. So I don't know what happened to it. But it was a perfect arrowhead, a point. It was like a point. Yeah. So much for everybody that came out of there, the students, they thought they were archaeologists. And I mean, I do agree that Canada needs to diversify its economy. I agree with that. They should have done it a long time ago. This didn't all start with Trump, even though they're blaming everything on Trump, it started this whole thing. They allowed they allowed the United States an awful deep footprint here in Canada. And they just have too much control over things in Canada. I think they should have diversified the economy a long, long time ago. But I also think that New Brunswick also needs to diversify its economy. And they shouldn't just think that they can make money off of destroying the land and water. That's kind of shallow thinking. And they're just thinking about money. They're not putting a lot of thought in a holistic kind of an economy. We cannot live without the land and without the water. I mean, you're not going to be able to eat your money if things go south, you know. So they need to diversify. I mean, if they do any kind of mining, it needs to be the type of mining that's not going to destroy the environment. And there's no guarantees. These companies will never guarantee that they won't, that they'll never guarantee anything. You'll never see that word in any of their agreements.
The Peace and Friendship Alliance, an alliance of Indigenous people and settlers, recently held a meeting where the Minister of Natural Resources, John Herron, spoke about the project. What did he say, and what was your take on his remarks?
Well, you know, he didn't. He just rattled on about nothing, really. He never made any commitments to anything. He never, you know, he met with the people. He said what he thinks people wanted to hear, I guess, but he never really made any, you know, commitments. And, you know, we have a brook it's in Peniak, and it runs right from it's sort of a brook that comes off of the Nashwauk, and there used to be fish in that brook. And there's a company up at the headwaters of that brook. And they, a few years ago, one of our biologists, Cecilia Brooks, she did a test on the water there, because they have three lagoons. They made three lagoons where they dump all this toxic waste. And they bring this sludge from all over, from Maine, from Nova Scotia, from everywhere. And they're saying they're cleaning it, but they're dumping it in these lagoons. And one of the lagoons, there was a breach, and it spilled over into the brook. And when Cecilia got the test back, she found that there was PFAS, in the testing that she did. PFAS is a chemical that's they call it a forever chemical. It means it will never be able to it's not biodegradable. It lasts forever, and it causes cancer, and they know it. And that brook runs right into the Nashwauk, and it was St. Mary's notified the provincial environmental people and the national environmental people, and they did nothing. And they still haven't responded to the seriousness of this. So we're still fighting that. We're still trying to find them, somebody that will clean that up. So, you know, and this is just one brook. This is just one incident. So you can just imagine if we have a major catastrophe such as would happen if the tailings pond breaches, or if it overflows, or any kind of, you know, anything that would damage, that would allow that to just flow into the Nashwauk and destroy that whole river valley. It would destroy the whole entire river valley. So they would never clean it up. They'd be gone. We would be left, and the people that live all along there would be left with the mess.
Do you think that if this project goes forward, it will face resistance?
I think it will. We're already planning another meeting with the people from the Nashwauk River Valley and the town of Stanley, which is just below. It's a little town that's just below where they want to make the Sisson mine. It's just before the Sisson mine area. Yeah, Stanley. It's called Stanley. And so we're going to be meeting with the people there. They're organized. They have organizations in their community. So, and some of them have been allies with the Grand Councils, and, you know, we want to talk about what can be done, what more could be done. Yeah.
What do you think would be the next step?
having meetings with these people and gathering the people, making sure everybody is notified and aware of what their plans are and so on. That would be the next step, and try to build that alliance and make the alliance stronger. Yeah.
Do you have anything else to add?
No, nothing really. Just hope everything goes well and everybody stays safe, and people, you know, find some other way to make money. I agree with New Brunswick having an economy. We've said that for years, that we should be, I remember the old elders saying, we should be living from the land within our own territory. We should be buying things and growing our own food and supporting an agricultural within our own territory, and taking care of the wildlife and taking care of the plants. Stop spraying. New Brunswick is saturated with glyphosate and God only knows what else. It's making people sick. They have to stop doing that. If they want to have an economy here, they need to stop poisoning the environment. That's another thing that they should be looking at, instead of getting money from the United States to give to that company to go and, you know, dig a huge, great big hole up here in our homeland. Yeah, that's just not acceptable now.
Those were all my questions. Thank you for speaking with me today.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Today we're speaking about the proposed Sisson mine and opposition to the project. For more on this, I'm speaking with the Woolstoke Grand Chief, Chief Ron Tremblay, as you're known by your colonial name. But Ron, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Oui, adli wiznil. Spazagazit pesazem, agaka gos wagodem, nagamalsam wagodem, nagawalasta gavinil. Greetings. My traditional name is Spazagazit Pisazim, which translates to Morning Star Burning. And I am here representing the Crow clan through my mother's side and Wolf through my father's side. And I am a citizen of Wolastoqook, and which our nation is the Wolastoq.
The provincial government, as you know, has been promoting the development of minerals, including tungsten, so-called critical minerals. In particular, they pointed to the massive tungsten deposit that would be the proposed Sisson mine. You're, I think, a longtime opponent of this project. Could you talk about why you oppose the Sisson mine?
First and foremost is the huge hole that, or holes that they have to dig, and the waste that's going to come from the earth and the use of the chemicals within the tailings ponds. And people don't really understand how large of a hole that this mine will have, and plus the two tailings ponds that will be there forever. And the chemicals that are used to extract the tungsten, so and the huge possibility at what time that these tailings ponds will breach, and once they breach, they will be dump the waste into the Nashwauk and eventually all the way down here to Fredericton, into Wolastoq. So. And what we were told is that the mine itself, as well as the tailings ponds, will be as large, the hole will be as large as the city of Fredericton. And that's quite a large hole. And there's a lot of factors that go into that too, why we oppose it. The use of tungsten itself is used for the industries to create weaponry as well as machinery within the army to continue wars and bombing and we oppose wars and we oppose supporting the construction of weaponry.
On this point, the U.S. Department of Defense is reportedly investing some $20 million in this project for a feasibility study. Any comment on this?
Yeah, this is kind of an ironic move of the province of New Brunswick, as well as Canada itself, where they want to be more supportive of their own resources. And especially with the threat of tariffs through the United States and us wanting to divorce the United States and their economy and support our own, and then accepting funding from Department of Defense, which is a military department, to be clear that they're there to produce and to weaponry, as well as to support the continuum war, and be it in Palestine, be it in Gaza, and those countries that where there's the continuum of genocide occurring.
It really is ironic, as you say, because this news that the U.S. Department of Defense was backing this project came out at a time when there's a lot of worry, of course, about the trade war with the U.S., Trump's trade war with the U.S., and also President Trump's threats of even annexing Canada. And in this context, we've heard a lot of talk about, as you say, gaining more economic independence from the United States through speedy development of various resource projects, including critical minerals. And yet it's this American military that's sponsoring this precise project. I don't know. Is there anything you want to add about that? It is quite a remarkable situation, I think.
Yeah, it's just, I guess it's one of those head scratching situations, and thinking that, you know, here the Liberal Party, be it nationally or provincially, wanting to support our own economies and then teaming up with the U.S. military. That's I don't know. It'd be like getting back with your abusive spouse, you know.
Now, let's talk about the land itself. Have you been to the site of this proposed mine on the Nashwauk watershed?
Yes, I've been there numerous times. In the previous decade, when the Wollastoog grandmothers were out there living on the land, and as well as one of the grandmother's sons were there. And we went to go help and build two facilities there, homes, and we took up food and helped them to develop a garden up there and so on. Yeah, we were very, very supportive at the time, as well as a lot of people from the surrounding areas were there, and the allies through the Peace and Friendship Alliance group were there and helping and support. And we've done a lot of ceremonies. We actually built a longhouse there, structure probably 7-8 years ago. So we put our physical bodies there to help support, as well as done a lot of ceremony there and it's strange because when we drove up there, there was very little signs of wildlife around. We've never heard very many birds or even small game, be it chipmunks or squirrels and stuff. And it was kind of sad not hearing them, and because they were already starting to cut and started to make roads and so on. So we have like allies that live up and around there that's been notifying us as all the, I guess, the progress in the cutting and the preparation.
Has the provincial government indicated at all that it will consult with the Willistaquay Grand Council on this issue and I don't know, acknowledge the traditional leadership in this regard at all?
Well, approximately a month and a half ago, I received a letter back from the Premier's office, and because we put forward our concerns about resource development within our homeland, be it mining or whatever. So anyway, we did meet with the Premier and two ministers, Minister Chaisaw of Indigenous Affairs and the Natural Resource Minister John Herron. And we met for around an hour and a half in the Premier's her office, and we put forward our concerns. And the grandmothers voiced very directly and assertively what our concerns were, and they did write a lot of things down. I don't know if they heard us, but hopefully they did. They had present also a young man named Matt, who was their policy person, and he was documenting everything we said. So we kind of schooled them in what and who the Grand Council were and what our position was and also what our authority was and so on. So we did, and there was feedback, and then and in fact in the letter that I received back from the office of Minister or Premier Holt, it had stated in the letter that I and the Grand Council should go through the six band elected chiefs to get an update on any consultation. So one of the grandmothers had mentioned that in the meeting that the band elected chiefs do not represent the Grand Council, nor they represent all people, you know, whoever don't choose to be part of that system. So Premier Holt didn't know exactly what she was talking about when she referred to the letter that was sent back to me. So, but the letter was signed by the Premier. So she must not have read the whole letter when she signed it, because it stated at the bottom the conclusion part of the letter, it stated that we as the Grand Council need to go through the six band elected chiefs for any consideration of consultation. So, but we made it clear at that meeting that the Grand Council is a sovereign body, that we do not receive any funding from any provincial or federal or any institutions to support our governance. So we stand alone, and that we, as I said, we're sovereign, so they cannot control us or threaten us to hold any funding back for future considerations and so on. So that was heard, and they, the two ministers, Minister Chaisaw and Minister Herron, and also the Premier, heard us very loud and clear that. So I don't know if they promised us, but they did guarantee, I guess it is a sort of a promise, that they will invite us to tables in future considerations when it comes down to consultation. And we were very clear that, that we will determine what is true consultation.
A few minutes ago, you mentioned the Peace and Friendship Alliance and John Herron, the Minister of Natural Resources. So I understand that the Peace and Friendship Alliance, this is an alliance of indigenous people and settlers, recently held a meeting with the Minister of Natural Resources, and he spoke about the Sisson Mine project. Can you talk a little bit about what he said, and what was your take on his remarks?
Sure. I have to commend him for coming, first and foremost, because we had invited ministers of the past to come, and even for us to question him, and he was, you know, he came into our environment, which I have to commend him for that. And John is a well-seasoned politician, so he knows his stuff, and he knows. I think his background is in economics, I believe. So he sounded like a businessman, which is very typical of a person who had that background. So he knew, he was well versed before he came. So the questions that was posed to him, he answered them in the long version, I guess the album version rather than the 45 version, but he was quite thorough in responding. He was very truthful. I have to commend him for that. But he is he's a politician, and you know, he is so how he responded was you know, how the province wanted to make money. That's the bottom line, and we have resources, and they wanted to make money. And the question, there was a question about the position of indigenous people and what rights we have. And he clearly stated at one of his responses that we don't have a veto, that indigenous people do not have veto power. So I reminded him of the United Nations rights on indigenous people, and the Truth and Reconciliation calls to action. And I said, according to those two documents, is that we do have a right to say no and to appeal, and we do have a right to our own way of governance, be it a traditional way, or if we want to even adopt the chief and council way in our communities, but we as indigenous people have a right to choose. So we clearly stated that, and but he stood his ground. He said, well, how the province is moving forward is that we don't have veto, but we do have a right to oppose and to submit any written documents and proof why we oppose, and then the possibilities of what could happen if that mine goes through.
I heard that he also said something to the effect of minerals are our sacred sons and daughters, or something to that effect.
Yeah, that was a little scary. I think he was trying to use our language, because we always consider the earth as being sacred, and everything within the earth and above the earth as being sacred. I think he tried to use that, that parable in how we phrase the earth, and that was I didn't want to attack. I didn't want to attack him about that, but so I kind of let the settlers, who was part of the Peace and Friendship Alliance, saying, how could you say that? Like, that's kind of degrading to indigenous spirituality and mind thought, considering minerals as our brothers and sisters. And so anyway, he kind of tried to renege and kind of go back on his words, and he did sort of apologize for using that.
And as this company behind the Sisson mine tries to proceed with construction, do you expect that they'll meet resistance?
Well, I hope it doesn't get to that, but they probably will. I know there's a lot of young people. When Bill C-5 was passed, I was sent a little video of a group of young people. I don't know where, I think they were Cree or Anishinaabe, and they were ripping. They were so frustrated. He says, if you think they had resistance before, they will receive resistance for sure now when they lift all those environmental conditions and so on, is that they will receive resistance. So I hope it doesn't get to that. I hope that the province and whoever does the assessment see that this is and this is not going to be profitable. And I know we do have part of our allies, the Peace and Friendship Alliance group, who have broken down the economy, and he said this will be a lose-lose. He says it will not be profitable for his province to go and do that. He says, and the risks are too high. He said, and they said so.
Thank you for speaking to us about the situation today, Wolstoke Grand Chief Ron Tremblay. Thanks for joining the NB Media Co-op today.